And our choir and Reader's Theater would like to present to you A Son is Given.
Has found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Come now to our final case of the day. If everyone will bear with us a little longer, we will try to get you home before the holiday, just as soon as possible. Mr. Colby, who do we have next?
Next, we have a defendant charged with a DUI and fleeing the scene of the accident.
Your Honor, if I could just ask a quick favor.
Well, hello, Sarah. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Your Honor.
I thought this was going to be a quick case. But here stands a noble public defender to disabuse me of that belief.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. If you could just grant me a brief extension to speak with my client. We haven't had quite enough time to prepare.
Come on, Sarah. Don't drag this out any longer. It's an open and shut case. Why are we stalling?
This is anything but open and shut, Ryan.
Mrs. Novak, I could give you a brief continuance, but any longer than an hour or so, and your client's going to spend Christmas back in his cell.
It will just take a few moments, Your Honor.
Confer with your client, Mrs. Novak, and we'll see you back here in 45 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. In case you weren't aware, slouching in the corner and hiding your face from the judge is very suspicious behavior.
I can't face him again.
Who? Judge Hammond? Do you know him?
I just can't face him again.
Why? Are you worried you won't get a fair trial? We can get a different judge, or ask him to recuse himself.
It doesn't matter.
I can't help you if you won't work with me.
Fine.
Look, I don't have a lot of time here. Just tell me what happened.
It's like I told you on the phone. I fell asleep at the wheel. Simple as that, it was just an accident.
And you weren't under the influence of alcohol?
No! I told the cop that and the other attorney. I don't know why you keep on asking me that.
Probably because of your past DUI.
That was almost 20 years ago! So that's what this is really about. Finally gonna stick it to me. I knew I should never come back here.
Wait, come back? You don't live here?
No. I got out of this town as soon as possible, and I haven't been back since.
Well, why were you coming back last night?
I came to see my mom. She has cancer. I needed to come back.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It happens.
Okay, well, just to clarify, you were driving to your mother's house at 2 a.m.?
Yeah, I had worked hard all day, left late. I drove straight through the night to get here. When I got off the exit, I must have started drifting off or something. I didn't realize how tired I actually was. I was almost there. At least I think I was almost there. I guess I just nodded off for a second.
And that's when you hit the parked car and the courthouse sign?
What's the point of this?
Maybe you should take this a little more seriously. This would be your second DUI. The prosecutor will lock you up. for 30 days.
But that's ridiculous. I wasn't drinking. I've been sober for 2 years now.
Then how do you explain fleeing the scene?
I didn't flee the scene.
Yes, you did.
No. I was cold, I was tired, I had hit my head, and I thought if I could just get home, then I would report it.
You still fled the scene of an accident.
All I hit was a parked car.
That doesn't matter.
Well, it should. I didn't do anything wrong. You got nothing on me.
Mr. Friedman, I'm your attorney. I'm trying to defend you, and you are not making life any easier for either of us by being belligerent.
It doesn't matter. He's gonna throw the book at me anyway.
The judge? Craig, if you have something to tell me, you need to say it now.
It doesn't matter. It's hopeless.
Sorry for the inconvenience, Mr. Covey.
No problem, Your Honor. They sure are taking their dear sweet time. I'm just sorry to see the public defender's office abuse your kindness yet again.
It's fine. We want to ensure that everyone receives fair representation.
Trust me, Your Honor. At this stage, they're always guilty. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in this situation to begin with.
That's quite a jaded view of our justice system, brother.
I'm just saying, you can't be in my line of work this long and not know that these creeps are all the same.
I should remind you, we're talking about a human here.
Yes, and it's basic human nature. A criminal needs to be punished. If you let him off, he only falls right back into his old ways. People don't change.
I appreciate your strong sense of justice, Mr. Covey, but you seem to be forgetting the place of mercy and forgiveness and rehabilitation, not to mention that whole pesky concept of innocent until proven guilty.
Ah, you're changing the subject.
No, I would simply remind you that no one is perfect. And but for the grace of God, any of us can fall into all sorts of evil.
All right, Judge. Look, I know you teach Sunday school, but this ain't a Sunday school lesson. And this isn't a little sin problem or some minor indiscretion. Now look, I get that you should forgive mistakes, but not really bad actions, especially when they cause harm.
Mr. Covey, all we are sinners. All we like sheep have gone astray. We are all deserving of judgment.
Oh, now who's the jaded pessimist? That's an awfully bleak outlook for Christmas Eve, don't you think?
Well, it would be if that were the end of the story. But it's only the beginning. Christmas reminds the sinner that fear and despair can give away to joy.
Joy of earth, a Savior's birth to fallen man is granted. This song of love is sung above, and shepherds hear it chanted. Their wakeful eyes with glad surprise see white-robed angels shining. The ravished ear a song can hear, a melody combining. Glory be in highest, and to God through years unending. On earth may peace and love increase, goodwill to man descending. In haste they seek that infant meek whose cradle is a and at his feet with homage meets, they hail the heaven-born stranger. Joy of earth, a Savior's birth to fallen man is granted. This song of love is sung above, and shepherds hear it chanted. And we with them in Bethlehem will seek the Lord of glory, will sing His praise through endless days and tell the wondrous story, His story. Joy of earth, a Savior's birth to fallen man is granted. The song of love is sung above, and shepherds hear.
Okay, just remember to be respectful and honest. I can tell you from past experience that you were lucky it's Judge Hammond in today and not Judge Miller.
Mrs. Novak, are you and your client ready?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you for your patience. You too, Ryan.
May we proceed?
Yes, we will now hear the case of Mr. Where did my papers go?
Here you go, Your Honor.
Thank you. Yes, the case of Mr. Craig.
Your Honor.
I told you it was hopeless.
Mr. Craig Friedman. It's like a ghost from the past. I must alert counsel that I am intimately familiar with this defendant. Due to our past history, I think it necessary that he stand before a different judge.
Your Honor, I am aware that there is some history between the two of you. However, my client is desperate to have his case heard. He came here for the holidays to see his mother, who's dying of...
Well, cancer. Yes, I know.
To wait for another judge would potentially leave my client in custody over these precious few days. Additionally, it would be difficult for him to make bail. He has requested that you please hear his case.
And how does the defendant plead to the charges of driving under the influence and leaving the scene of the accident?
He pleads not guilty to the DUI, but guilty to leaving the scene of an accident. And I should add that he would like to waive his right to a trial by jury.
For the record, Your Honor, the state has no objection to the defendant's waiving of his jury trial.
Mr. Friedman?
Craig, at least look at him.
Mr. Friedman, is it true you want a trial before me?
Yeah.
Court will have a brief recess.
Your Honor, your word?
Okay, Craig, spill. What's going on? How in the world do you know Judge Hammond?
I caused his son's death.
What?
I caused his son's death.
And you just threw yourself on his mercy? Craig, what have you done?
Have some mercy.
I was a stupid kid. It was my 17th birthday. I went to a party with some friends. Someone showed up with some alcohol. Everybody pressured me to drink. I mean, it was my birthday after all.
You don't have to explain this to me.
But you're my counselor, right? You're my advocate. You might as well know who you're advocating for.
Craig,
I don't know how many drinks I had. It didn't even seem like that many. Suddenly, I realized how late it was, and so I grabbed my keys and left. Someone tried to stop me. I thought I was fine, so I drove home. I knew I was drunk, but I also was determined that I could do it. I was fine. I was always fine. I don't even remember exactly how it happened, but I swerved. I didn't see him. He was out jogging, practicing for a track meet. I just didn't see him. It was just an accident.
Of course it was.
I mean, it wasn't my fault. No, what am I saying? Of course it's my fault.
Craig, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too. My life ended that night.
Craig, I don't begin to assume that I know what you've been through, but didn't you already pay the penalty for that mistake? Didn't you serve a sentence?
Manslaughter. DUI manslaughter. Isn't that an awful word? Manslaughter? I was convicted and sentenced to 2 years, then released early for good behavior, probably because of my age.
Then you can find solace that justice was served.
But who's justice? Jason's still dead. I still killed him. Sure, I was punished, but it didn't bring it back. It didn't wipe away my guilt, did it? Today I couldn't even look at the judge in the face, not one time.
You have to try to move on and at least try to live a normal life.
When you cause somebody else's death, you don't get to live a normal life. I can't move on. It's a debt I can't repay.
Well, have you tried talking to a doctor or a counselor or maybe someone at a church?
Nobody wants me in church. Come on. Nobody wants me in heaven. I don't deserve heaven. You all know it.
I don't think anyone gets to decide who does and doesn't deserve heaven.
Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor. We are ready.
It's no problem. I didn't mean to eavesdrop. I wasn't expecting to hear a discussion on heaven, but I guess with the season and all.
I don't understand.
I think he means Christmas.
Precisely, Sarah. You do know that Christmas is the time when Jesus came down to earth to open heaven for all mankind.
No?
Well, you would know, sir, as the resident Sunday school teacher. Sorry again for taking so long. We are ready to proceed.
Very well.
Open heaven to man? How would he do that?
Born in poverty's embrace, born in rumor's cold disgrace, born the Prince so pure and chaste, hallelujah, born of God. Sent to comfort, sent to pray, sent to wipe our tears away, sent
And furthermore, my client did not stagger and stumble around, nor did he slink off into the shadows, as my esteemed colleague so vividly imagined.
Oh, please, watch the video!
In fact, I would assert that my client did not intend to flee the scene at all. He was disoriented, tired, and seeking shelter from the cold. He was also desperate to see his mother, as he was under the belief that she could die at any minute. He didn't think he'd done anything wrong. My client fell asleep at the wheel, and there is no evidence to suggest that he was under the influence of any alcohol.
Your Honor, as I stated previously, there's plenty of evidence that this was a DUI. Go back to the flight. Just go back to the flight.
You're like a broken record.
The skid marks, the extent of the damage, the lateness of the hour, and who could forget the fact that he fled the scene. Why else would he flee the scene?
Your Honor.
Because he was drunk, and he didn't want to get caught. Now, you can't take a breathalyzer if you're nowhere to be found. Isn't that convenient?
Your Honor, I have so many objections, I don't even know where to start.
If you both are quite finished with both of your theatrical performances, I believe we can bring this case to a close. At this point, I have heard both of you, as well as the defendant himself, and we seem to be descending into a cycle of squabbling. I've heard your closings, and I'm ready to rule.
Look, whatever happens, we can appeal.
No. Fate brought me here. I deserve what's coming to me. Why resist?
Will the defendant, Craig Friedman, please rise? After hearing all the arguments, weighing the facts, viewing the CCTV footage, and hearing your testimony, I find as follows. To the charge of driving under the influence, I find the defendant...
guilty.
Not guilty.
What?
Oh, Craig!
And to the charge of fleeing the scene of an accident, I find the defendant guilty. In determining the sentence for this crime, it is noted that the defendant has a criminal record, including a previous DUI manslaughter, of which I am painfully familiar. Due to the extent of the damages caused to the courthouse property and the suspicious circumstances of your flight, I sentence you to a maximum fine allowable, $4,000.
It's okay, Craig. It's a big win. Surely we can come up with that money somewhere.
But what's the judge doing?
Mr. Covey, here's the amount that Craig owes paid in full. And if there are any other damages that his insurance will not cover, I'll pay them as well.
But, Your Honor.
Take it to the clerk and tell her to get the paperwork in order. I would really appreciate it.
Judge Hammond, wait. You can't do this.
Go home, Craig, and be with your mother. You're free.
But how could you do this?
I forgive you, Craig, and it's about time you accept my forgiveness. But much more than that, you need to accept God's forgiveness. I know you've heard this from your mother, and I know you've heard it in church, but you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior.
I tried once, but how can he really forgive me? After all the pain I've caused and the life I've wasted, I mean, you of all people should know why I can't be saved.
You're wrong, Craig. He died for you. He loves you. Only he can truly forgive you, and he's awaiting you.
Can it really be true?
Can it be that a man who died 2,000 years ago is what our world so broken needs today? Can it be that he truly is the only Son of God who healed the sick and even raised the dead? Can it be that he's living today? Can it be that he conquered the grave? Can it be that a soul who will call on his name shall be free? Can it be? Can it be? Can it be that he's living today? Can it be that he conquered the grave? Can it be that a soul who will fall on his name shall be free? Can it be? Can it be that my name is written down in heaven above? And he filled for me a mansion in the sky? Song of the redeemed, and I boldly can approach the throne on high. Can it be that he's living today? Can it be that he conquered the grave? Can it be that a soul who will call on his name shall be free?
Craig, the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. But the Bible also says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
I do believe, and I confess that he is my Lord and my Savior.
Amen, son. There's a new name written down in glory.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you for forgiving me. And I know it doesn't help, but I want to let you know that my whole life I felt so guilty for what happened. I have suffered every day since that awful night.
Do you know what I wanted much more than your suffering? I wanted your redemption.
How could you feel that way toward me, of all people?
Only God, son.
I feel so strange. Like this huge weight of guilt is lifted off. I finally feel...
Justified.
Justified?
Justified, it means made right and declared righteous.
I can never be righteous, I know that.
No, not with any of our own righteousness. But now with Christ as your Savior, you take his perfect righteousness. We can never earn salvation or wash out our many sins, but by faith in the atoning work of Jesus Christ, we are cleansed. The penalty for our sins is paid. The righteous wrath of God toward our sins is appeased. And God declares that from now on and forevermore, we are justified.
I will stand before.
Your Honor, could we speak for a minute? Look, that scene in there was truly touching, but if you don't hold it against me for saying, I just don't understand how you could forgive him so quickly and so easily.
It was not quick, nor was it easy.
Sir, that was your perfect chance to avenge your son's death. He didn't even serve his full sentence. I just don't understand that kind of forgiveness. It seems to me like you, of all people, would want justice.
Justice, Mr. Covey? I love justice. I seek justice. My hope is eternal justice. But not my justice, and not yours.
I apologize. Look, I see where you're going. You mean God's perfect justice.
Exactly. What is justice without mercy? And what is mercy without justice?
But your son.
Yes, I lost my son, my only son. I doubt that that pain will ever go away. But today, I couldn't stop thinking about another father who lost his son. And that perfect innocent son died for the very men who caused his pain. I'm one of those guilty men, Mr. Covey, and so are you. You asked me how I could forgive him so quickly. Simple, really. I can forgive him because I'm forgiven. I must forgive him because I'm forgiven. And through forgiveness comes freedom, peace, and joy inexplicable.
Such a wonderful cantata we had tonight, and what a wonderful picture of what can be had of forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. This time of year and Christmas time when we gather together with families and we think of all the joy that can be had, but there's little joy and little peace when you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. as we gather together tonight and we're in this place and we've enjoyed such a great musical song and the drama that we've enjoyed. Maybe there's someone here tonight that's made their way into the church house and you don't know for sure if you died today that you'd be on your way to heaven. You've never, this time of Christ's birth, he came so that others could be born again. And so if you're here tonight and you don't know the term born again, you don't know what it is to have received Jesus Christ and be born into his family, then tonight I want to be able to just give you just a quick look into that. And what happened to Craig tonight in our story is much the same way. Every one of us, maybe we don't have Craig's story, but each one of us know that we're a sinner, that we've fallen short. If we compared our righteousness with the righteousness of God, then we'd line up as sinners. And as sinners, then the Bible says that the penalty for sin is death, and that death is not this life. Every one of us in the building, unless the Lord Jesus comes back, will perish physically. But this is a spiritual death, and that death is in hell. Every one of us tonight that sit inside the building will spend eternity somewhere. And depending upon what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we accept him or whether we reject him, whether we accept his payment of Calvary, his payment, his finished work of Calvary and his resurrection, or whether we reject that, that will determine where we spend eternity. So tonight I ask you, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've never put your faith and trust in him, you've never been born again, wouldn't tonight be a good night to do that? Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me tonight? We want to give you opportunity. We want you to be able to accept Christ if you choose to tonight, not with by walking down the aisle, but maybe right there in your seat. You've had opportunities and maybe you've pushed it off and you decided you'd do it another day. Then today could be the day of salvation for you. With heads bowed and eyes closed and you're here and you're like that, would you slip a hand up and say, Brother Parsons, preacher, that's me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. All right. Well, first of all, you have to know that you're a sinner, and I think we covered that. Second of all, you need to know that Christ has paid everything that needed to be paid for you to be saved. So you have to put your faith and trust in the Son of God, in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. If you're here tonight and you're like that, if you'd simply, you believe that Christ is the Son of God, you believe that he did die on Calvary and pay for your sin debt and that he did rise again, and you want to put your faith and trust in him, you could pray a prayer with me and you could do it like this. Dear Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you did die on Calvary and that you did rise again. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, to come into my heart, and to give me the eternal life that you promised me in Scripture. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, tonight we wanted everyone to have the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. I thank you for being patient with us. But what would be the blessing of the choir, the blessing of this preacher, is if you accepted Christ tonight as your Savior, not so that we can make much of it in public and embarrass you, but I know the choir would love to know that. And if you're like that tonight, boy, after the service, I'd love for you to come by. Just take my hand and say, preacher, I prayed that prayer with you tonight. I got saved tonight. We'd love for to be able to know that and be able to pray with you and pray for you as you've accepted Christ as your Savior.